Brought to you on UK Health Radio, The Natural Beauty Show, an in-depth look at the beauty issues that affect you. Welcome back to The Natural Beauty Show. Today is a brand spotlight special. We're going to introduce three brands that have individual products with a clear focus. So joining me now is Michelle Feeney, the founder of Floral Street, which is an absolutely gorgeous perfume brand or fragrance brand. Thanks for joining me today, Michelle. I'd love to start by talking a bit about your background, because you've got quite a deep history in the beauty industry, haven't you? Could you tell us a bit about where you've been and what's been going on?
Well, that might be an hour-long show, I think, or something. But anyway, thanks for having me, Natalie. Yes, I've had over 30 years in the beauty industry. I started in London in the 80s, actually, with doing fashion show production and PR, and worked for Lynn Franks, who most people know, very famous lady, who taught me a lot. And then I moved to New York and I formed my own PR agency. My first client was Bumble and Bumble, which was the hair products. And I built a really successful business. And then I got headhunted into Estee Lauder companies. And I then went on to have this incredible career within that company for 11 years. And I launched Crème de la Mer from scratch. I worked with Tommy Hilfiger on himself and his team on the rollout of his first fragrance across the world, and did an incredible time learning global business. And I eventually became vice president of MAC Cosmetics and was part of launching 40 countries around the world. And I also got to work on and with the MAC AIDS Fund, which was really about AIDS, trying to give money, giving money to men, women and children living with HIV and AIDS at the time, which was, you know, it still is an issue. But I got to work with the United Nations. I got to sign a lot of the talent, Mary J. Blige, Elton John, work with his fund. So it was really, really meaningful time when I learned that beauty, you know, we all know, I think, how products can affect your self-esteem, no matter, you know, what gender you are or identify with or who you are, you know, that can affect your self-esteem every day. And, you know, beyond that, the beauty industry can do a lot of good with the money it raises, the awareness it raises. Evelyn Lauder founded the Breast Cancer, Foundation. She taught me how you can make your business be worth something beyond just the product. And obviously it's all coming to fruition right now in the world as we all start to talk about, you know, beyond sustainability, really. That word has almost become a, you know, redundant in that, you know, the way that you form your company, the way that you are with people within it. So I've sort of learned all the way along the way with beauty, and it's given me this tremendous career. And I think it opens up so many doors for women, whether you are a single mom, you know, which I was for nine of those years in New York, traveling the world. But I mean, if you're an amazing nail technician and you've got a kid, you can work from home. Mm-hmm. If, you know, my daughter's really into the environment and science, you know, you can work in product development. You can have a science job. It's not just about, you know, looking pretty. Yeah. It's been a solid industry for women to operate within during the last 30 years and also get to the top, which wasn't the case in other industries. So, you know, for me, it's been amazing.
I'm glad you touched on that, because we had a chat with the British Beauty Council not long ago, actually, and Helena, wonderful Helena at the top there, you know, she was talking about how significant women are within this industry and how many women actually form, you know, the backbone of this whole industry that we're all a part of. So, yeah, your amazing journey has brought you to Floral Street. What made you want to set up your own brand?
Craziness, obviously, absolute craziness. 4 years on, I'd made lots of other people's brands big in the world, and I'm a creative marketeer, and I'm very passionate, and I see things very differently. And then I got to be the CEO of Saint-Tropez when it was under private equity holding. And I completely turned around that whole image of self-tan, because again, I saw it as, it's a real self-esteem booster. Yeah. I saw it as this incredibly simple cosmetic instead of just tan, you know, in that it affects your own body. And what I realized was, if people say to you, you look good, you feel good, you know. Yeah, so absolutely. I sort of changed that, launched it into America and sold that brand. And then during that time, I'd had this idea, when I sold the brand to PZ Cousins, and I had a beauty division that I put together for them, including Sanctuary Spa, which was on Floral Street. Mm-hmm. And I literally was inspired by the name Floral Street one day and thought this would be great to turn into a fragrance brand. But I took a gap year at 51. I stepped out of my CEO-ship at PZ Cousins. I had the name then Floral Street listed all around the world for fragrance and that side. And I just didn't know if it was the right thing for me, but also if it was the right thing for the world. You know, I didn't want to bring any more products into the world. So this was 5 years ago now. So even then I was thinking this industry is far too wasteful. Mm. It's not looking at itself at all. During that year, I watched my young adults my son's now 28, my daughter's 17, but looked at the way in which they were kind of not consuming actually.
Yeah.
And what they were looking for in brands and who was resonating with them and the questions they were asking. Mm. And I just thought, okay, the fragrance industry is so old fashioned in the way that it sells.
Yeah.
And I've literally also just come through an airport. I was lucky enough to go away for half term. And still the fragrance industry is wrapping its product in cellophane. I've been talking about this for 4 years now. I mean, anybody that's in so-called sustainability must be so fed up of banging their head together. But I thought, I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to set an example, even though I'm a small company. And then my old boss at Estee Lauder Companies, John Dempsey, said, I called him and I said, what do you think? Should I do it? I feel a bit nervous. Mm. And he goes, do it. You know, it's a great name. Come on. Yeah. And I just, myself and one other person sat around my dining table and off we went. And you know, I'm lucky enough, I must say, to have a reputation, especially in America, a really good high reputation for what I've done, clearly. Yeah. And it opens up doors because people trust that you're going to be a success. So off I went, and we will be, we're celebrating our fourth anniversary of the company launching this month. And we're in 22 countries now.
That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal in that short time, really, in the world of beauty. You know, 4 years isn't a long time, is it, at all?
No.
I mean, I love that, you know, you just mentioned there, you know, you looked at the younger generations and how anti-consuming they are in a way, really. They still want to consume products, but they're not interested in all the heavy packaging and, you know, all of this very old-fashioned approach. And I know that one of your, at the ethics of your brand is about being conscious, isn't it? I mean, it actually says that, you know, I've
consciously sourced.
Exactly. Yeah. So is that, you know, something that you really try and flow through? I mean, obviously, the beauty industry does have an issue in that we have to package our goods. You know, they have to be, especially if they're a liquid, they have to be placed within something, a container of some kind, perhaps a box of some kind if you're shipping it. You know, it's very difficult, isn't it, trying to achieve that particular ethic. But you seem to have done it. You seem to be doing it quite well with Floral Street.
I think it's not difficult. It's just you've got to want to do it, you know. And it's also where you want to put your money. So at the very beginning, you know, I put, I self-funded my company so far. And, I put money into engineering a pulp box, you know, and I remember my husband saying, oh my God, what are you putting that beautiful bottle in that box for? And I'm like, you wait, you just wait and see. Mm. And that opened so many doors for us because we were forward thinking. So, you know, we went to see Sephora in America, and they were like, "Oh my God, you're way ahead of everybody. Let's look at," you know, it's opened doors for us because I've been forward thinking. Now, the ingredients part of it are sustainably sourced. We work with Roberté, who are the best fragrance house in the world at sustainably sourcing ingredients. They look after the land, the people, you know, go on their website and check them out. So every aspect of the business I've tried to do in the best way possible. And actually, you know, some of the big companies now in fragrance are launching, you know, they say it's great to be copied, or, you know, it's supposed to make you feel good, but they are stepping in that direction. So I did this from the beginning. Otherwise I wouldn't have done it, actually, because what was the point, Nestlé, in bringing, you know, some of the product in? And I think, you know, I am part of the British Beauty Council Sustainable Coalition. They're all up at COP this week. I'm Zooming in tomorrow to be part of a panel. But I mean, what's great about that is we've got lots of different companies that are coming together. And I know a lot, fragrance is quite difficult in comparison to other things from a refill standpoint, and you know, it's got alcohol in it, so it has to be in glass and all those kinds of things. But I think things are moving, but there's also a lot of greenwashing as well. So you really, really, as a consumer, have to be looking at what the parent company of that brand is, you know, what they're doing in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
You know, I now am such a conscious consumer myself, you know, and kept in shape by my 17-year-old daughter, you know. So I think I feel quite, although it seems like I'm quite a negative time out there, I feel quite positive about technology helping change things, about consumers thinking differently. But it is up to us in the beauty industry to not make it hard for the consumer.
Yeah. So it's all about that transparency and that choice that's open to them, really, isn't it? I think there's a real education movement going on at the moment, isn't there? And, you know, you just mentioned your 17-year-old daughter. I've got young daughters myself. And, you know, they're very aware of the world and our planet and what's going on. And they're actually really determined about how they will and won't shop. And, you know, I can't remember being like that at that age, actually. You know, I was quite happy to just go to, you know, Superdrug or Boots or wherever, or the Pound Store even, you know, and just pick up anything. You know, I didn't really have any regard for any of these sort of environmental impact or health impact or anything. But yeah, we're dealing with a different marketplace, aren't we?
And I think, you know, as far as health's concerned as well, there are, you know, ingredients that are coming out of things that could impact your health. I mean, one has to be careful about that as well, because, you know, some of the traces of some of the ingredients are so small that you'd have to consume, you know, tons of these things. But I do think it's all positively moving in the right direction, apart from packaging, actually, because you talked about looking into some of the stores in Britain, and, you know, a lot of them are doing, oh, aren't we fabulous about, you know, we've done this outreach on the earth, or, but they're not really. They're still filling their shelves full of landfill. You know, and to be honest, it's, you know, I know it can take gradual and it has to be gradual, but I find that a bit distressing, really, that, you know, if people in power, as in power with the consumer, decided to change things, they actually can.
They could.
And they should have gone faster, you know. But anyway, speaking positively is going in a good direction, and, you know, but there's so much, I think you have to be careful not to get overwhelmed and depressed by the messages that are coming through. I'm a bit worried about what's happening with COP, with the consumer, in that every channel, every thing you pick up, everything you listen to is about that. Now, on one hand, that's brilliant because it means everybody's interested. But the consumer gets really tired of things. You know, they'll turn it off or not be interested. So, and we must remember, we are beauty industry, and we're about feeling good and looking good. Yeah. And you don't want to take the joy out of that. So at Floral Street, you know, we do absolutely stunning visuals. Our latest fragrance is with the Van Gogh Museum.
Oh, it's lovely.
You know, we use the best ingredients. We've got the best nose in the world, one of the best noses in the world. Yeah. And I never, you know, my 30 odd years experience tells me when you part with money for something, and fragrance, you know, we're reasonably priced for a fine fragrance, very reasonably priced. But when you part, when you part with that money, that has to make you feel really special. Mm. Even a lipstick should make you feel really special.
I think fragrance even more so. I mean, I know, you know, if I pick up certain fragrances that I've worn on a certain time, you associate the scents with memories and, you know, lovely, lovely memories. And, you know, your packaging, everything, the way you display your whole product is a real feel-good product. You know, even just looking at them, you mentioned the Van Gogh Museum there. I mean, you know, it's beautiful botanical designs and, you know, it makes you feel as good as when someone gives you a bunch of fresh flowers, really. You've got the both sensation, haven't you? The visual, the scent. Yeah, it's lovely. I think it's really, really important. So what's your aim with the brand? Is it going to be as large a brand as the ones from your past, or are you just happy?
I'd like that. No, I'm never happy with, you know, I mean, half of me did this brand because I wanted to platform sustainability in fragrance. Mm-hmm. Call me crazy, because it is hard. It's hard when you are a small brand. And when you think about most of the other fragrance names out there, they've got massive muscle behind them. They've got the L'Oreals or the Lauders. You know, we haven't got those kind of budgets. So, but I'm in it and I'm expanding, and we've just launched 32 completely sustainable home products, and I'm taking that steps further, and it's launched into Nordstrom's doors in America. Yep. We've got momentum. I can't stop now. So it's kind of, you know, and I'd like to go into different categories outside of beauty as well, because we've created this very happy brand, you know, and that was my intention. You shouldn't have to work so hard. It should give you joy when you buy something or have it on your shelf. Or so you know, I'd potentially like to go into other categories as well outside of beauty, you know, because we've created this lovely brand, so we shall see.
Amazing. And where can the listeners find your products online
on obviously floralstreet.com, but we also are johnlewis.com, Feel Unique, Look Fantastic Now, so selective John Lewis's, and also we've just launched into Flannels, which are doing that whole new outreach. So you know, you and H Beauty, wherever they've got two stores now and they're expanding. But yes, you can find us across the board. Lovely. And we do this incredible discovery set, which is only £14, and it means you can try the fragrances. I've
seen it. It's the mini fragrances. It's lovely.
Yeah, and yeah, then really it means lovely. You're not having to invest. I didn't want to customers have to spend a lot of money and then get it home and then go, oh my god, I don't like that. You know, you need to test the water, I think.
I think the other nice thing about that particular set is that, you know, you've got different moods in there for the different scents, haven't you? You know, I mean, the sort of fragrance I would wear on a Monday is completely different to what I might wear on a Friday. So it's lovely that you've got that chop and change. I'm sure a lot of women can relate to that, actually. That kind of, it's changing my mood as well.
Well, it does change your mood. And also I set this up as well, looking at why were perfumes constantly sold to the consumer as you need this now and everybody smells the same. And you know, I'm gonna do this big commercial and you're gonna want to, you know, with a celebrity. What does that have to do with you, you know, as a modern modern person?
Well, so basically quite unrelatable adverts, aren't they, really?
Oh, they're ridiculous. I mean, you know, it's like always running towards a body of water, as a comedian said in America. But you know, I think you should own it. It does affect your mood, the way you're dressed, you know. I looked at it in that way, which is a very different way to any other brands, actually, and that it should enhance who you are. And we say, who will you be today? Because not that we're manic, I'm a manic female, although I probably am, but it's more about, you know, when I'm having a meeting and I'm really in my suit, I want to feel polished. And that's a different fragrance to how I might feel on a hot summer's day if I'm going to meet friends for lunch. So it, and I priced all the fragrances so that you could own more than one.
Lovely. Yeah. Absolutely lovely brand. And yeah, have a look at it and try it all out. It's a really fun, nice, warm, like a nice big hug kind of brand, which I love about it. But thanks ever so much for joining us today, Michelle.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Joining me now is Nick Allen, who's the founder of men's skincare brand Geology. Lovely to have you with us today, Nick. Thank you for joining us. So tell us about the brand.
It's very simple. We really focus on getting guys into a routine for the first time. I mean, most of our customers have never had a skincare routine. So the whole idea was, hey, how can we make this easy? How can we demystify something that seems so complex and just make it more approachable for guys?
Yeah, absolutely. And what about your own background? Have you always been in the beauty segment, or is this something that's new to you? How did you come upon this?
It's a great question. Until 4 years ago, I probably washed my face maybe like twice in my whole life. but I'm an entrepreneur at heart. This is my third startup. I did two consumer tech startups before this, and I got into skincare. I was in Korea. I bought my girlfriend some, you know, fancy Korean skincare products. Didn't want to come home empty-handed.
Yep.
And I was, you know, getting close to turning 40, and I was like, well, maybe I should take better care of my skin. And so I tried the products that I bought for her, and I was like, why have I been denying myself the pleasure of a lovely skincare routine my whole life? So one thing led to another, and I thought we could do it better than what was out there.
And your brand, I mean, Geology, even the name, you know, linked to the earth and the whole, you know, the structure of the earth. So it feels very masculine. Is that what you felt that the industry was missing, that whole, you know, focus on a brand that really appealed to men?
You know, I think that's part of it. But really, it was like I thought I had all these preconceptions about sort of beauty and skincare, and maybe it wasn't masculine, or it was hocus pocus, or it was going to be a waste of time. And the brand, really, we wanted to have something that, like, sort of a timeless name. You know, when you think of geology, you think of these layers of the earth, which are kind of like layers of the skin or the passage of time. But, you know, in the end, like, as I said in my opening comments, we really just wanted to make something accessible.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, the women's beauty industry is very complicated for guys. You know, we didn't have an older sister or mom to kind of, you know, help us learn what these things were and different products. And so we just wanted to make it simple. And that's kind of, you know, kind of what we do. And that's what we pride ourselves on.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're quite right. I mean, the female beauty industry, you know, all the products really aimed at the female market, it's complex, isn't it? There's something for everything. So what sort of issues do you find that your customers or your marketplace are really interested in from their skincare?
One, they don't know where to start. Mm. So we do things a little bit differently. You know, we take guys through a trial. So we say, hey, you know, you're new to skincare, you don't know where to start. Let us figure out what's right for you. We do that with a really simple quiz. We don't ask things like, what's your skin type? Because no guy knows that. So we ask basic, simple questions. We kind of understand what their needs are. And then we start them on a trial of four products. And the four products have been formulated like just for their skin. So for instance, if you're 20 and you really have acne needs, well, the formulas that we're going to use are going to be much different than the guy who's 40 and looking to fight the signs of aging.
And what about brand ethos then? Are you interested in, or do you think your customers are interested in the whole idea of this new movement for more natural based products? That whole idea that a brand needs to be much more sustainable now. Is that something that really concerns you as a brand?
It doesn't concern us at a brand. I think it provides an opportunity. Mm. You know, for us, we really focus on like facts, not fads, is something that we say. So you see a lot of these like crazy ingredients out there. Seek help from Nova Scotia or like, you know, some fad that hasn't been proven. So we really focus on really short ingredient lists, which make it clean to begin with, right? Less ingredients is less messy. So short ingredients are just high efficacy ingredients that actually like really work. They're stand the test of time. They've been proven. And so short ingredients lists, simple routines, effective products that really work. And that like gets the guy comfortable and going.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I can already hear my own partner saying to me, that's perfect for me. I don't want to be listening to all this fad nonsense that can go into the beauty industry. Do you think that the pandemic changed the way that men started to think about themselves and their looks and their appearance and their self-esteem? Do you think we all had a little bit more time on our hands?
I think that's a great question. I think the inflection point happened before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. What the pandemic did was kind of accelerate a change that was already going on and kind of allowed the average guy to say, oh, hey, I'm not spending my budget, you know, at the bar or the concert or this other thing. And maybe I should spend it somewhere else on like, you know, bettering myself or trying to improve myself in some way or make myself feel better. I mean, we hear every single day from customers that say things like, you know, you have totally changed my life. Like I had bad acne for so long, I wasn't feeling confident, and you've made that change for me. And I think the social stigmas around like taking care of yourself in that way, you know, it started changing maybe a decade ago, and the pandemic really just accelerated it.
Yeah, sure. And I expect as well that the attitude of society as a whole really helps that, because actually it's becoming a lot more acceptable, isn't it, on a societal level, that, you know, men can look good and they can take care of themselves. And actually now men can wear makeup. I mean, male makeup brands are booming at the moment. It's a complete change around, certainly from when I was much, much younger. So what next for your brand? Have you got anything big coming up in 2022?
Of course.
Anything you can share with us?
Yeah, we're going to expand our product base. You know, we are 3 years into the business and we've been very disciplined about, you know, we don't want to just release a bunch of products that don't do anything or don't mean anything to our customers. So we've spent a lot of time really understanding who our customers are. A big surprise to us, or at least to me, when we started the brand, you know, I thought it would be guys more my age who are, you know, starting to see the signs of aging and want to take better care of themselves. Well, really, the bulk of our customers are under the age of 30 and they're looking for, you know, more products, more, you know, other areas. So we're going to get into things like hair care and body care and focus more and more on acne. We have a great acne solution and we're making that better and better. And we're going to be releasing that, you know, in 2022.
You've talked a lot about how, you know, a lot of guys that are first approaching your brand, they've never really had any clue about skincare or, you know, what on earth to do with it, where to start. Is education quite a big piece of your marketing?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at our blog and a lot of our content production that we do both ourselves and with a lot of influencer partners, it is about sort of demystifying or kind of breaking down those barriers that are preventing the guy from getting started. You know, so that's everything of like ingredient education. What do these do? You know, myth busting. We see all these like, you know, a lot of ads these days for charcoal facial cleanser. Yeah. Well, it's not really great for you. It's just a fad.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting guys to understand and kind of not be so intimidated by what's out there is a big part of what we're trying to do. And again, you know, like I said, 70% of our customers are under the age of 30. They're new to skincare. Like, how can we help them on this journey to get them more comfortable and then get them into a routine that just is simple and works for them without a lot of fluff?
Yeah, sure. I mean, certainly something that I'm familiar with. Obviously, I'm a mother. I'm a mother of four children. And, you know, they're what we now know as Gen Z. And Gen Z are powerful, aren't they? You just mentioned then that, you know, actually there's a lot of customers that are in their early 20s or even below that. And actually, they're starting to really sway the, you know, where us old a lot are starting to spend our money and put our minds to. Do you find that as well? You find, you know, that some of your customers are actually being quite influenced by the younger members of their family?
Absolutely. I mean, and not just the younger members of the family, like a lot of the guys are writing into us and saying, hey, your products are so good. My wife is stealing the eye cream. Like, I need to get some more. And then, you know, from the cultural standpoint, I think you know, when a teenage son or something is making it okay for dad to go and do these things and say, hey, dad, everybody, like, go for it, you know? So I think that cultural influence makes a big difference. And, you know, like, habits are changing and cultures are changing, and we have to sort of keep up with those times and, you know, provide a product and service that, like, meets people where they are.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big thing of what we try to do. We're not trying to sort of force something down your throat. It's why we give you a trial.
Yeah.
We have, I mean, part of our brand too, which I haven't mentioned, is really amazing customer service. Mm. Like, when guys are coming in, they don't know what to do. We have guys writing in, sometimes they'll wash their face with the cleanser and they won't take it off.
Oh, they don't.
They don't realize that you have to, like, wash it off. So they just put it on and then they put the cream on over it, you know, so we got to help them.
Yeah.
Meet them where they are in their education process with something that just is simple and works.
That's amazing. I think that's brilliant, though. It's lovely that you're willing to sort of give that helping, guiding hand, really. It's probably something that they've obviously lacked in their growth, and that's just lovely.
You know, it's one of the reasons we started the brand. Like, there were not other skincare brands out there for guys that, like, took the time to think these things through. Like, I'll give you an example. You know, we ship to you two bottles of face wash, one for the shower and one for the sink. Mm-hmm. And we do that so, like, when you're trying to get into a morning and night routine, you're not, like, reaching back and forth, which just makes it harder. So
that's,
we really
tried
to.
That's a great idea. Yeah, I'd never even thought about that. Yeah, I'm actually wasting quite a lot of time. I realize that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's brilliant. Exactly. That's so simple, but such a beautiful concept that, yeah, why not? Why would you not have them exactly where you need them at different times of the day? I mean, that's brilliant. So where can our listeners get hold of your products? Are you selling just in the States and Canada, or is it in the UK as well? Is it international?
Yeah, we sell to probably 30 plus countries. We're available on our website at geology.com. We're also available on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we work really hard to get things out, shipped very quickly. And, you know, people are responding really well.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Joining me now is Jo Minchin and Lindsay Price from Grassroots Skin. Thanks ever so much for joining me, ladies. I'm incredibly intrigued about this brand. It's very now, definitely, with its way forward. So who wants to start? Tell me a bit about the brand and how it came into existence.
Thank you for having us, firstly. We had always had a very keen interest in CBD and the benefits it has for the skin. And we wanted to have a business that ran alongside our beauty clinics. And Lindsay and I had bashed around the ideas of CBD, but we weren't educated enough on having CBD as ingestibles, the people who take the drops. But we looked into CBD for skincare much, much more. And it was sort of a slow burner, and it was growing. And then lockdown happened and we got shut down and we didn't know what to do. It's like, well, this is our opportunity. So what started out really, it was our plan to create a facial. So we got our award in education and training, and we wanted to train the treatments that we carry out and maybe create some sort of facial that was fabulous. And as we were looking into it, what we wanted to do was have a CBD facial, but our clients have certain expectations. Mm-hmm. And being clinics that sell Environ, Lumiere, those sort of things that are cosmeceutical skincare, they expect retinols and vitamin C and, you know, active ingredients for the skin. So whilst we were looking for something that had CBD and cosmeceutical ingredients, we just could not find anything anywhere. Mm-hmm. So it was then light bulb moment. This is our opportunity. This is the breakthrough. Let's incorporate the two together. So we engaged with a CBD expert, a formulator, and we put the two ingredients together, did all our stability checks, and we came up with Grassroots Skin.
Amazing. And Lindsay, tell me about the benefits of CBD for skin. What are the benefits of it?
So CBD, it's really calming for the skin. It's full of antioxidants, it's anti-inflammatory, it's anti-aging, it's antibacterial. So those things work really well with all the other cosmeceutical ingredients that you'd expect, and actually enhance those properties. So we found it's really good for all skin types. Anyone can benefit from having CBD their skincare. And that, you know, the research is still out there. It's still quite new to the industry. We're still seeing these benefits, and people are testing the amounts that work well, you know, to put on the skin along with other ingredients. But it just, there aren't any negative effects of having CBD on the skin. It's a total winner to add into your skincare routine.
And is there a certain amount of education that goes alongside your brand awareness? Joanne, yeah. You're nodding your head. Yeah. What do you need to tell people? Because obviously CBD itself is still relatively new to the marketplace as a whole, isn't it? And so there's people that are kind of familiar with the word CBD, but maybe not really understanding what it is, what its derivatives are.
I think some people have heard of the word CBD and some people haven't even heard of that. And then when you explain it's a cannabinoid, and they'll say, what's that? And you say, it's derived from the marijuana plant. It's sometimes, but CBD is extracted from the cannabis plant, and there's zero THC in it. So we use CBD isolate, and we have it all third-party tested. And THC is the element that affects your brain. So if you were to smoke a joint or marijuana and have all of those experiences, there's none of that in this whatsoever. And I think people are feared from it. And this is also very difficult for us to educate people. Yeah. In the likes of Facebook, Google, Instagram, won't allow you to do any sponsored posts around it, because they're still seeing it as though it's like a drug, and it's not a drug. There's nothing in it that can affect you whatsoever, especially when it's isolate and it's topical. You know, yeah. It goes on the skin. You're not ingesting it. There's nothing in it whatsoever. We actually have cannabinoid receptors in our body, so it's as almost as though we were made to be recepting CBD anyway. But the education around it it's like a long slog, but we always knew that it would be.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that was, you know, new to us. We knew that we weren't going to be off to a flying start and selling thousands of bottles a day because people knew about it. We knew it would be a very slow burner, but we just wanted to be the first out the gate. And we know that the more every day people are getting more educated, which they are, the more it will become more, you know, a well-known. There's a reason that the CBD industry is a multi-billion dollar industry.
Yeah, and this is why as well we've created a training program around our products. So we're aiming to, as well as sell direct to consumers, we're educating salons and clinics to stock our products and learn about CBD and learn about the other ingredients and how they work together, and then in turn educate their clients. Yeah. So we feel this is the quickest way we can get that education out there and reach people directly through clinics and salons.
And also that creates a really lovely platform for people that are maybe a bit uncertain, unsure of how their own skin's going to react to it. They can go and try it, can't they, really, before actually physically buying a product to take home and use again. So that's a really nice way of doing it. So great that clinics are now open and salons are now open for that.
Yeah, I mean, we were lucky, really, that we have that access to other salons. We're in a lot of beauty groups on Facebook, and we can read feedback instantly and, you know, and share experiences. And so, and that was always our business plan, really. Our business model was to do it through other salons. We do sell it direct to the consumer, but we also sell it direct to salons, and they buy it wholesale. And we just feel that's the quickest way to do education.
So what other brand ethics do you have then? Are there anything that's really important to you as a brand?
Yeah, well, I'm vegan, so we've made sure all of our products are vegan. And packaging is such a big thing. We feel packaging actually is the way that we can have the biggest impact on the beauty industry by using ethical packaging. It's either recycled or, you know, recyclable materials or things that can be recycled. Mm-hmm. So they're our strongest ethics, if you like, within the brand, to be vegan, to be recyclable, to be kind to the environment.
No cruelty to animals. And it wasn't easy finding products, bottles and packaging. That was probably one of our biggest slogs. It was easier to put together stability checks and check that the ingredients were safe and everything than it was finding nice bottles that were able to be recyclable. And we've had to go down the route of having glass bottles. Yeah. And they're beautiful, but they're so heavy.
Yeah,
you know, for people who want to travel with them, take
not
our products.
Really practical. Yeah.
No, and we have aluminium for our for two of our products, and everything we tried, we wanted to have PET, the plastic PET but that you can't find those in airless pump bottles. So that it was just so difficult. And then you would go to printers who would do boxes, and just at the very last minute, you'd find out that they'll put a film on it, on the box. Well, that's not recyclable. And
no, it's frustrating. Actually, you're not alone in feeling like that, because I get a lot of feedback from beauty brands that, you know, they say, you know, we're beauty formulators, we're not packaging experts, you know, we need to go to suppliers to provide this, and the suppliers need to catch up and provide us with sustainable options, and we choose them, you know, we take them. It's
but they're, you know, so, and what they do make that are sustainable, they're so ugly. Just make something attractive and we'll buy it, you know. They really were ugly, and so part of our ethics, we wanted everything to be made in the UK. And they are, but we could have got really nice bottles from other parts of the world. We could have got packaging from other parts of the world that were recyclable. But here in the UK, it was just, it was, I don't know if it was maybe because it was lockdown as well, but it was really difficult.
Hopefully it's changing, actually. I know COP26 going on, and there's a massive call for industries to really up their game. And the hope is that, you know, the UK industries will really pick up and start to feed each other in a more sustainable way. So let's hope so. Well, tell us a bit more about the products in your range. How many products do you have? What sort of products are they?
So we have 8 at the moment. We launched with 7, and then was it late last year, early this year, we launched with our supercharged massage oil. So we had, what we did do was we did eventually, well, not eventually, we did it all side by side, create a facial that goes along. It's called the Grassroots Facial. And the Grassroots Facial was the first SIPPAC indoor CBD facial in the world using cosmeceutical CBD skincare. So each of our range follows the steps of our facial. But we were doing a shoulder and neck massage to start the facial. And we have this beautiful facial oil. But we were using tons of it for this massage. And we were like, we've got to do our own body oil. Yeah. And people were asking, oh, do you have anything for the body? Do you have anything for the body? So we launched early this year the supercharged massage oil, which has 1,000 milligrams of CBD. Comes in a huge 500 ml bottle. But the rest of our range is just for the skin.
Skin types, isn't it? And we've designed the range so that anyone can use it, they can follow the steps. Some people get confused by skincare. There are so many different products out there, they don't know what to put on when. So we've designed the range so that it's easy to understand, it's easy to use at home, and all of the ingredients are beneficial to, you know, all skin types.
I mean, there's a lot of talk at the moment in the media, thank goodness at last really, about the menopause and perimenopause and, you know, the symptoms of that. And your products sound like they'd be really helpful to women experiencing some of the really common, I think it's about 48 common symptoms of menopause. And it sounds like, you know, lots of the active ingredients you've got in your products would be incredibly helpful to a woman at that stage in her life.
Absolutely. I think I have about 42 of those symptoms right now, as I turn 50 this year. I can vouch for that. Especially like the anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, those sort of things, which are really great for your skin. We own our own beauty clinics, and we treat a lot of women, that the majority of our ladies are around that 45 to 55 age group, and their skin changes dramatically when they go through the menopause. I mean, you can see them over a period of 3 years, their skin change.
You can really
so much.
It's quite
the anti-aging benefits of the retinol and the hyaluronic acid, so the calming effects of the CBD, it works so well for products for that age group. It really does.
Amazing. And where can people find your products? What's your website, and do you sell it anywhere else?
Yep, we have a website, www.grassrootsskin.com, and we also sell it in salons and clinics nationwide who have retail accounts with us, but they can come direct to our website, and we send it out from this lovely place here. I mean,
lovely. That's brilliant. And what about the future? Any plans for any new products on the horizon?
Yeah, absolutely. We're working at the moment on some new products, so hopefully early next year or by maybe spring, we should have some exciting new products to add to the range.
Excellent. So it's worth people having a look at the website and keeping a track on.
It is. And to have a real look around the website, there's some good education in there about CBD. It talks about CBD, and we try and educate on CBD. And we also educate on the ingredients that are in our products. There's also another great page on there that's about charity that we support. So every bottle that we sell, we donate a percentage to the charity Papyrus, which is the Parents Prevention of Young Person Suicide. And we do fundraising. We just had to climb Snowdon in August. We had to climb Snowdon in August for that. And we do things all year round. And that's just something that's also really important to us, that when on day one, when we decided to do this, we knew that we wanted to give something back, and it had to be a charity that was around mental health. And it's an amazing charity, so
absolutely.
That's always worth a look out on our website.
I think a lot of people can get behind that one. Well, thanks ever so much for joining me today, ladies. It's a really exciting brand, and like we've said, so topical, and fantastic that people can go to your website and use it as an education base as well as trying out some of your products. So brilliant, thank you very much.
Oh, thanks so much for having us, Natalie.
Brought to you on UK Health Radio, The Natural Beauty Show, an in-depth look at the beauty issues that affect you.